The idea that no one is looking at the model presented by Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York, which was very simple. If you throw a rock, you're arrested. If you throw a bottle, you're arrested. And all of a sudden, New York was, and it literally was almost overnight, New York became safe.
The John McCullough Show, weekday evenings at 6 on The Patriot.
And we're back on Sports Talk with Michigan soccer legend Roger Faulkner. Here's John Cameron.
Not Michigan soccer legend. Soccer legend all over the world.
I thought global. Yeah, global.
Especially in Michigan.
Global? No, not especially in Michigan. Not especially. We're going to talk to him. We're going to talk to Roger Faulkner in a minute. Take your calls at 800-923-9385. 800-923-9385. Or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Westland Bowl for over 50 years, a great place to bowl for you, your family, and friends, or join a league. Westland Bowl was one of the largest bowling centers in Metro Detroit, 60 lanes with many amenities, two bars, and a snack bar with great pizza and burgers. Have fun and burn those calories at Westland Bowl, a perfect place for fundraisers and company parties. Westland Bowl on Wayne Road, north of Ford Road. Meds Direct Pharmacy in Clinton Township, dedicated to treating personal injury patients from auto accidents, slip and fall, work-related injuries. With one call, Meds Direct will deliver your physician-prescribed medications directly to your door so you can focus on getting better. Make Meds Direct Pharmacy your one stop for all your prescription needs. Located on 19 Mile between Garfield and Hayes in the Greater Lakes Medical Plaza, or go online, MedsDirectPharmacy.com, MedsDirectPharmacy.com. And the Fenton Hotel in downtown Fenton since 1856. A fine dining casual restaurant featuring prime steaks, fresh seafood, and more entertainment Tuesday through Saturday. And the piano bar. It's worth the drive to the historic Fenton Hotel. We're going to talk soccer this hour, folks. People criticize I haven't done soccer. Well, I got it now. So if you have any soccer questions, let's get them going today. Roger Faulkner is my guest, who was the majority owner for the Detroit Express. And brought the World Cup here, and among other things, to the Silver Dome in 1994. And the other one in 93, of course, too. He's a legend in soccer. He lives right here in Bloomfield Hills, and even dating a very famous person's daughter, too.
This is true. This is true.
J.P. McCarthy's daughter.
Yeah, he was global.
Yeah, he was. So you're staying with her, and she's...
Well, we've been together for 14 years, so, you know, it's a 15-year relationship, so we're almost done now.
What do you mean a 15-year? Does that mean you're going to be done
after 15
years?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
One more year and she's gone.
I'm just kidding.
Is she listening? You better watch her.
She's a lovely lady.
Is she listening?
Yeah, I don't know. She's a lovely lady. She might be. She knows where I am. She keeps track of me.
Okay, well, she's probably listening and laughing her you-know-what off. And if you have any questions for Roger, here's our number, 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. And the first question to you is, the popularity of soccer, the world's greatest sport, but it hasn't taken off really in the United States. Why in your mind is that, and you see things changing? Because soccer is the number one played sport, I think, in Metro Detroit. Everybody plays soccer. Why can it transcribe over to a pro team making it? Is it name recognition?
No, I think we're in an island here in Detroit that's not involved in Major League Soccer, and I think there's very little awareness of exactly what is happening across the country. Because Major League Soccer, which is now at 20 teams and goes to 22 teams in the next 2 years, and then 24 and then 28, has an average attendance of 21,000 per game. It's the sixth highest attended soccer league in the world. The ratings for soccer games on television, not for league games, but for World Cup games and international games, are absolutely phenomenal. We get 30 million to watch the U.S. men's team play in World Cup, compared with 12 million to see a World Series game or an NBA final game.
Are you talking about in the United States?
Yes, in the United States.
I have no idea.
If you look at the teams that are playing in Major League Soccer, Seattle is the leader. They average 42,000. And the lowest team is FC Dallas, who average about 15,000. So, but the average runs about 22,000, enormous number of sellouts every year, because most of the stadiums were built to be 20 to 25,000 seat stadiums. So it really is extraordinarily successful. And but the media here, because we don't have a team, they don't pay very much attention to it. I was up in Toronto for MLS Cup Final just 3 weeks ago, sold-out game at BMO Field, where they're freezing their butts off playing hockey, I guess, tonight or this weekend. But and I was
freezing more than that off, too.
I was freezing, too, up there. It was about 20 degrees, and everybody stood up throughout the game, which was something else. But it was just phenomenal. And they press in Toronto for that final. They played Seattle in the final, and the press was just enormous. It was the biggest thing in town, without any question.
What do you think Detroit will ever make it big in soccer?
Oh, yes. I think, and I think this is the year that it happens. If you look at the front page of the News and Free Press today, where it says things to look for in 2017, and one of the words in that headline is soccer, because this is the year it's going to happen. The deadline for filing applications for the next stage of expansion is January 31st this year, and I fully expect that Messrs. Gourish and Gilbert and the henchmen on Telem.
Henchmen.
Marvelous.
Like the way you put henchmen.
The marvelous man, marvelous man. Who has really put this thing together for the Pistons and the Gilbert organization. I think they're going to file an application by January the 31st to have an MLS team in Detroit, and I think it'll be here. Maybe not by 2020, maybe by 2022. I've always said it would happen in my lifetime. If it's 2022, I think it's probably going to be a photo finish. But
give yourself some credit now.
I'm right with you on that. I'm right with you on that, baby. Although you're much older than me.
You and I'll be taking the handicapped entrance.
Yes, of course. You're about old enough to be my father, though, I think.
Well, this is true. You're looking very young.
Not that bad. No, folks, not that old. You gotta go ahead with the email.
Yeah, Chuck from Belleville. He agrees. He says we should have MLS soccer, but where do they play? If not the new old jail project, then where would they play?
The jail project.
The failed dog.
What about the Silver Dome?
I think about the Silver Dome. Yes. Don't mention the Silver Dome.
No, let's not.
Yeah, I if I had to bet, I would say it's going to be the jail project. I think the
jail project didn't sound right, but that's
what it is. I mean, it's a marvelous piece of property, and Dan Gilbert obviously understands that, and he wants that property. The fact that Warren Evans has spent $150 million, probably inappropriately, in getting to where they are today with the jail site, doesn't make that site worth another $150 million because he's invested it and wasted it in that site.
Yeah.
And I think eventually, because the fee, January 31st, the fee that an applicant for a new MLS team has to pay is $150 million. After that, it goes to $200 million. So there's a lot of pressure on Gourish and Gilbert to get an application in now while the fee is $150 million. I think they'll do everything they can to get the jail site. But I think there are other sites that could well work. There's sites within the Fox complex itself, and there are other sites in Detroit that I know they have looked at.
Let's take phone calls. We got JJ in Lincoln Park here on Sports Talk with Roger Faulkner. Go right ahead, JJ.
Oh, Roger, I just want to say thank you for all your work that you've done in the community for soccer. And I especially want to thank you for the 94 World Cup getting to the Silver Dome. And I had the privilege and the pleasure of being on the sidelines for the first indoor soccer game ever on natural grass in 1993 between Germany and England. And my cousin was playing that day for the German national team.
Wow.
You might know him, Andy Muller.
Wow, absolutely. Germany won 2-1. I don't know quite how that happened, but it did. But, I remember that, 63,000, 64,000 people. It was an extraordinary occasion. I am so happy you were there, and I'm happy for your brother.
Well, he's actually a cousin.
Cousin.
Not my brother, but that's all right. You know, You know, I'm German-Hungarian, so, you know, the old Hungarians, they had a lot of good soccer teams back in, you know, 50, 60 years ago.
The days of Puskas.
Yeah, it was big, and they, you know, obviously Germany's one of the all-time powers, along with, you know, England and Brazil and stuff. But, you know, I'd like to know, how did Uruguay and Paraguay have so much success in soccer? Was it because all their European refugees? What was the success of the Uruguay, Paraguay, and all that, those kind of teams in the World Cup soccer history?
Well, there were an enormous number of emigrants down to Uruguay and Paraguay and to Argentina and Brazil. A lot of the teams down there, there are still some teams down there that have anglicized names. There's an Arsenal team plays down there, and others that were founded by people, by seamen and others that went down, that visited that country, and by emigres. But the first World Cup, there weren't many teams played in it, and Uruguay, I think, won it. But it's been wonderful. The Latin American countries have played some wonderful soccer, and they certainly have had some great teams down there in Uruguay and Paraguay and even the Bolivias and so on.
And I want to ask your opinion on this next question. They say, without a doubt, that soccer is the most popular sport in the world. Why do you think the soccer is most popular? Like, here in America, we turn off a 2-1 baseball game, okay? I mean, it's not exciting enough for us. All the rules are liberalized, so there's more scoring. Yet soccer remains the same. Why is soccer a 1-0, a 2-1 game is a big scoring game because there's lots of chances? Why is soccer the most popular sport in the world if there's not a lot of scoring?
Well, I think it's popular for a lot of reasons. One being that physique doesn't come into it. You can be 5'3" and 120 pounds and be a great soccer player.
See, Alex, there's room for you.
But I think one of the keys is that soccer games are always poised on a knife edge. And, you know, when you go to a basketball game, it very often comes down to the last 2 minutes or the last minute,
right,
where it's all going to get decided. Well, a soccer game can get decided at any time during the 90 minutes. I remember when we had the World Cup, and we sat down with the Elias brothers before the World Cup games were played, when Big Boy was operating at the Silverdome.
And
they, you know, they were rubbing their hands together saying, boy, the business we will do at the concessions. And they couldn't believe it that when the game kicked off, there was absolutely nobody at the concessions until halftime. Nobody would leave the action. Now, you go to a baseball game and people are milling around the beer outlets and the hot dog outlets and the hamburger outlets and so on. And they're not worried. They're not worried about what happens in the next 5 minutes or the next 10 minutes, because that's not going to make or break the game. But in soccer, it does. But there's also a tremendous allegiance to your hometown. You know, they say you can change wives and you can change citizenship, both of which I have done. But you can't change your soccer team.
That's true.
I was born as a fan of Derby County in England. I will always be a fan of Derby County in England, whatever level they're playing at. These things happen. So it's just a tremendous sport, and as you say, it's the most popular sport in the world, and the television ratings now are phenomenal. I mean, I watched games yesterday here in the U.S., Premier League games, and I'm sure you do, and German games and Italian games, and there's masses of soccer on television now here. Never had that before.
JJ, thank you, man.
You're welcome. God bless you and Happy New Year.
Thank you, JJ. Let's go to Bill and Flint. You're on Sports Talk with Roger Faulkner.
Hey, good evening, Ron and Roger. My question for you, are you still a citizen of England? I didn't hear that, or have you?
Well, I'm a dual citizen, actually. It's a little weird situation because the U.S. says you can't swear allegiance to any other principality, and the U.K. says you can't lose U.K. citizenship. So I probably belong somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic.
Dual citizens here with Israel and the U.S., so that's not something uncommon to us here. But
sure.
My question for you is, with Brexit and with the England, Great Britain voting to leave the European Union, what impact do you see that having on soccer long term, or if any? Be interested to get your thoughts on that, how it's going to affect soccer. Even Italy is talking about possibly leaving the European Union, maybe breaking up at some point. Who knows? But what do you see the long-term impact?
Very interesting question.
Of course, we've had, you know, totally free movement of people to work with anywhere within the European Union. Now, that isn't going to be there once they've negotiated. I don't think so. Once they've negotiated the terms of Brexit. If you're an American player or a Brazilian player, you have to meet certain criteria to get a work visa in England to play soccer. If you're a European, you don't, because you are allowed free access. Labor can move from one country to another within the European Union. And I suspect that will end. I think Britain wants to keep all the benefits of being in the European Union without being in the European Union. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, so you think that could change some of the players that may become available to play in England, and it may make it more restrictive for them to play there?
I think it would be more restrictive. Yes, I think they'd have to meet higher qualifications to get into England.
Very interesting. And what do you see as the biggest challenge to get more Americans to watch soccer and appreciate the nuances of the game and then the technical aspect of it? And is it education at the, you know, it seems like our high school and younger people all play soccer, and then after at a certain point they don't follow the sport anymore. They haven't turned it into a big, huge spectator sport here or a TV sport.
Yeah, I think anything that's changing. You look at Detroit City FC here in the city. And I always used to argue, and it was true 20 years ago, that the buying unit, when you put on a soccer game, you expected the mother and two sons, and the father maybe, if he could be persuaded, to be the people who would come to the soccer game. It'd be two adults and two kids. Today, it's the millennials. The millennials are the ones who are absolutely behind Detroit City. It's not mothers and children sitting, perhaps a good thing. It's not mothers and children sitting in the audience for Detroit City games. It's these young millennials, the people who are powering the comeback of the city of Detroit. And they're the ones who are getting behind the game. And you see this in Seattle and in Portland and Philadelphia, where they have these supporter groups. And those are they're the millennials that are the basis of the support. So I think it's a changing demographic that's watching the game and that's educated about the game now.
And they march before Detroit City games too. They have full
right. One thing that educated me, I was in Germany years ago and attended a soccer game, and it ended up 1-0, and the German fans thought that it had been just a glorious game and an exciting spellbinding game. And I, as an American, I'm thinking it's only 1-0, and we kind of have that mindset here. What do you mean there was only one goal scored? How boring can that be? We want the scoring. And I think maybe the younger people will learn to appreciate the finer points of the game, where a 1-0 or a 2-1 game can be viewed as an exciting
I think that's right. When you watch NHL playoff games, it's interesting that the high scoring games you have throughout the season kind of disappear when you get into the playoffs, and it'll be 2-1 and 3-2 and 1-1, and the scoring comes down, but the tension goes up.
Oh, there's nothing more exciting than playoff hockey. So sure. I think with the proper marketing and the proper PR people behind it, it can become a huge sport in this country. Hope to see that it does. But thanks for your insight. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Happy New Year to you too. Oh, he's gone. Hope you heard the Happy New Year. We're talking with Roger Faulkner on Sports Talk, a soccer legend who brought the World Cup here in 1994, and we're talking to him about soccer in general. If you have any questions, we welcome your calls. And he owned the Detroit Express here, too, for Trevor Francis, Keith, Ken Furphy, and the people like David Bradford, Brian Tinian, and those people. We'll take your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Behind here. Peter's Palate Pleaser is a gourmet specialty food store and catering in Bloomfield Hills under new ownership, featuring poached and grilled salmon, barbecue ribs, seafood, beef tenderloin, palate pleasers, famous chicken apple salad, fresh pastries, everyday dishes, and many other fine entrees changing weekly, all healthy, fresh, and tasty. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 7, Palate Pleasers on Long Lake Road, just west of Telegraph. Palate Pleaser delivers and will cater your party. Go to peterspalatepleaser.com, peterspalatepleaser.com. Motor City Rentals rents and sells boom lifts, scissor lifts, telehandlers, high-lows, and Broderson cranes, and other specialty equipment, all quality equipment, and all at affordable prices. And Motor City Rentals has parts and service. Go to MotorCityRental.com, MotorCityRental.com, MotorCityRental.com. And Tobacco Joe's in Woodhaven has one of the largest selection of brand name and imported cigars, a variety of roll-your-own cigarettes and gift items, all at low prices. And Tobacco Joe's Woodhaven is a giant walk-in humidor. Open 7 days for all your smoking needs. Go to Tobacco Joe's Woodhaven, corner of Allen and West Roads. Behind Myers, check out Tobacco Joe's Woodhaven. We're talking with Roger Faulkner on Sports Talk, talking soccer, and taking your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. Future shows next Saturday, we'll be joined by Bruce Fields, the Tigers minor league hitting and coordinator. He'll be on Sports Talk, and a week from tonight, a guy that you baseball fans will remember fondly, the Toronto Blue Jays catcher. Now, of course, he's the manager of the Canadian national team. Been there for years doing that. I know he did it for a while. I didn't know he was still doing it. Roving instructor, catching instructor for the Phillies. And Tiger Killer, I think he'll even admit to that when I told him. My memory might not be what it used to be, but I remember that, Ron. He killed the Tigers. He was one of the greatest home run hitters Tiger Stadium's ever seen for visiting players. 130 sometimes up, 13 homers. That's Babe Ruth territory. He's a deadpool hitter in that. Remember that porch hanging out? He'll be my guest on Sports Talk next Sunday. Right now, it's me and you. Anything you want to talk about on sports with Roger Faulkner at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. Future choice. Ed Coyle's going to come on if you ever get out of the hospital. He fell and has a rash you're trying to get rid of. Ed Coyle, the general manager of the Pistons back in the 60s. Jim Leland will be on. We got hockey people like Hall of Famer, like Larry Murphy and Thomas Holmstrom coming on the show the next few weeks. Got some very interesting shows for you. Right now in soccer with Roger Faulkner, taking your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com.
I do, before that, I want to give you an update on the Red Wings.
Oh, yes, yes.
The wheels have fallen off. Four goals unanswered by the Maple Leafs. Erickson just scored another one to make it 4-2, so it's now 4-2 Maple Leafs with under 5 minutes left in the game.
That is not good.
And they are outshooting the Leafs 28-23, even more alarming. Frederick Anderson's been pretty good for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, Corot, after a great start, has come off on him now. Not necessarily his fault, but oh yeah, they had a 1-0 lead. Looked like they were going to. Toronto's got some of the best young players in the NHL.
Austin Matthews scored his 19th.
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. If you'd like to talk to, do you have the email for Roger? Yeah.
Yep. Roger, this is Jeff from Ferndale. Was George Best one of the greatest soccer players ever, in your opinion? And also, the state of Michigan seems to have a lot of good college programs for women's soccer, like Oakland, Grand Valley, and Saginaw. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I think George Best was a phenomenal soccer player, and unfortunately, his lifestyle overtook him. George, I remember one year he said he'd given up women and horses and fast cars. He said it was the worst 10 minutes of his life.
And 10 minutes of his life.
George lived life to the full and died a very unfortunate death, really, with a serious drinking problem. But he was a fantastic player. He was an extraordinary man. He was a great man. He could charm the last dollar out of your back pocket. He did guest for the Detroit Express on a tour we did in the Middle East and France, and he dropped out of the tour and just disappeared halfway through. But that was George. But it was absolutely phenomenal player.
How old was he when he died?
I don't know, late mid-50s maybe.
Too young.
Too young. He had a liver transplant and then started at it again. But going back
started
to the...
drinking again after that?
Yeah. After the...
Sounds like Sid Abel.
59 years old.
Yeah, 59? Okay.
Yep.
The other part of the question about the colleges, the men's colleges have had had some interesting times. Oakland University's had a great record. Michigan was up there for a period of time. Michigan State won the national championships back in the 60s. Both programs, I think, are beginning to do better. There are players coming out of those teams, like Justin Merrim, who scores a lot of goals now for the Columbus Crew and actually plays for the Iraqi national team. In their World Cup qualifiers. There are players coming out of some of the Michigan colleges now that are doing much better. I think the coaching is very, very good. Gary Parsons did a wonderful job at Oakland, and they're good coaches now at ensconced in Michigan and Michigan State.
Is Brian Tinian still coaching?
Brian Tinian is involved with Total Soccer, with indoor facilities that he owns. I don't think he's doing any coaching. But a lot of the players, people look back on the Express and they say, "Well, that wasn't very successful, was it?" But you look at the impact of all those players on the game today, the Andy Chapmans and Ian Fairbrothers, who are running an enormously successful Birmingham United club program, the Brian Tinians, who run Total Soccer and has done a lot in the coaching world, and a lot of the players right across the country have given back to the sport and help raise the level of the sport.
Did you make money with the Detroit Express, Roger?
The Detroit Express was about the fourth or fifth best attended team in the NASL at that time. But then there was an ill-advised decision by my so-called partner, Jimmy Hill, who was an English media mogul. And Jimmy Hill wanted to move the team to Washington, and he thought that Washington, being an international city, would necessarily support the game of soccer. It was a foolish move. I had left the club, and we had a season ticket base, which was quite substantial. We had a television contract with radio contract with WJR and a television contract with Channel 50. And they moved the team to Washington some 6 weeks before the season. They had no TV, they had no radio, they had no season tickets, and they...
That's disastrous.
It was disastrous. It was an absolutely terrible, terrible move. So, no, soccer for me has been a labor of love. One of these days I'll make a dollar out of soccer, but it's been a labor of love, but I've enjoyed it.
It did now. Then the indoor came, of course, the indoor soccer came, and it drew more than the outdoor soccer.
No. No, I didn't draw as much. I mean, we were averaging 14,000 with the Express. Indoor would draw 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. Detroit Ignition was the most recent incarnation of that, playing at CompuWare Arena. They averaged about 3,000.
Of course, CompuWare only holds a little over 3,000.
Yeah, but indoor soccer is to soccer what arena football is to football.
Yeah,
it's
good point.
Parallel. And, you know, if you want to bastardize the excuse my terminology there, the real game, arena football is not football. Well, it's not American football. It's a version of it.
Well, let me ask you this, son, because you remember when they were wondering about drawing. I remember being downtown at the time. They're saying they're changing the rules, the shootout and all that stuff. And the pure soccer people didn't like it at all, did they?
No. No, they don't change the rules of soccer. They don't make these adjustments that the NFL can decide that the point after is going to be taken from a different place, and they can change the rules every year to continue to refine the sport. FIFA does not do that. There are very, very few changes. They're experimenting with video refereeing technology right now, and they have goal line technology to determine whether the ball has actually gone into the goal or not, and they're gradually making some changes. I've always wanted one change which people think is so bizarre, and the average goalkeeper was about 5'8" when they determined the size of the goals, and today he's probably 6'2". So why don't you take those 6 inches and raise the crossbar 6 inches and make the goals 1 foot wider, And in the course of an average game, in the course of an average game, there's probably four or five shots hit the crossbar or hit the post. They'd be goals. And I think you could do that without changing the integrity of the game.
But I agree. I think that would be great.
It'd be more exciting too.
I think it would, but it'd be a big investment. But you wouldn't have to do it at every level. You'd do it at the professional level to start with, and gradually it would work its way down as people replace goals and so on. It could work its way down
to the high schools and
But it probably never happened. Not in my lifetime.
A question about Detroit City FC. We talked about them earlier. Can they survive with an MLS team? Is it to where it's predicated on their success, basically?
Well, you're touching on a very interesting issue that's there right now. We have two enormously successful soccer teams in this area. We have the Michigan Bucks, which has been owned for 20 years by Dan Duggan, brother of Mayor Mike Duggan, and brother of Jim Duggan, who was my executive director of World Cup back in the 90s. And Jim Duggan's done a great job with the Michigan Bucks. They play at Ultimate Soccer Arena in Pontiac. They play indoors. They play outdoor soccer, but they play it in a covered facility. They have not been interested really in marketing the team. They've been interested in developing players, and they've done a tremendous job. And they've been the national champions. They're the current national champions.
So they don't draw much?
No, they draw less than 1,000 and sometimes a lot less. But they won the national championship this year, the PDL championship, Premier Development League, and there are 60, 70 teams in that league right across the country.
But no way to make money in that, is there?
But then there's the Detroit City. It's a different entity altogether, mm-hmm. and they make money. Detroit City has made money every year since its inception 5 years ago. Started off playing at Cass Tech. They didn't expect to draw very much when they started off, and by the second year they were filling Cass Tech, and by the end of
how many is that seat there?
And that was about 3,600 was maximum capacity. So then they did an interesting thing. They raised money through a community investment program. It's a special program that the state of Michigan allows, which allows you to raise money without going through all the SEC registration issues. And they raised money, borrowed it from their supporters, basically, and they borrowed $750,000, and they took that and upgraded Keyworth Stadium in Hamtramck.
Oh, yeah.
Which was built by Roosevelt in the works program in the 30s.
President Roosevelt?
Yeah, absolutely. It was very run down, but they redone all the seats and the press box and everything else. Capacity up to 7,000, and they're getting 7,000 a game at Keyworth, getting 6,000 to 7,000 a game
fantastic.
At Keyworth Stadium. So you've got a situation where you've got Detroit City, who's got this enormous community base, and these millennials we talked about supporting them, fanatical fan base. They march from the bars to the games and so on. And
I've been to one of the games, too.
From the bar, too.
It is wild.
Yeah, it's insane. Wild. It's like a riot almost.
Yes,
you went from the bar, too, didn't you?
That day, yes.
Yes, what else? I know you were.
You went back afterwards, I heard.
But it's right in the middle of the neighborhood,
It's too. An insane atmosphere. It's a remarkable atmosphere. And so you've got that team on the one hand and Michigan Bucks on the other hand, and the two of them at the moment don't want to talk to each other. I talked to both of them. I would like to get them to sit down and talk to each other about what happens in the next 4 years. There's going to be at least a four-year gap between now and when Major League Soccer starts. It could be 6 years. It could be 2022, or 5 years away now, before MLS starts. And we have to have the game growing during that period of time, and I'd like to see both of these clubs integrated into the Major League Soccer team that Gorish and Gilbert will put together. But there's a lot of politics and a lot of discussions going on behind the scene, and some of which I'm a party to and some of which I'm not. But I think Arne Tellem, Arne Tellem, I don't know whether you know Arne, he's the vice president of the Palace that Gorish sent here to bring to develop other ideas and other businesses for Gorish in the community. He is actually the agent that the television show Arliss was modeled on. He was Arliss, if you remember that show. He was the original Big Bucks
was
agent
the guy
for
TV
baseball.
Show? That was an interesting show.
Yeah, and that was based on Arn Tellem. He
now,
was
for you old timers, I'll give you a thing behind Arliss here. You remember when he got jumped in an alley? He got jumped in and a car sped by and get in here? And the driver of that car was the maid from Topper. You remember Topper? Leo G. Carroll, you remember Topper?
How did we get to that subject?
Well, she drove Arliss from danger.
Wow. Wow.
She was 90 years old when she did that. She was in the Topper TV series back in the 50s. How do you like that for...
That's good trivia. That's very good, Ron. I'm very impressed. So, Arn Tellem, they say Trump wrote the Art of the Deal, but Arn Tellem could write that book without a ghostwriter because he is just a tremendous negotiator, and I think he will make things happen. I think he'll make things happen with the city of Detroit and Wayne County and that jail site, and I think he'll make things happen with Detroit City and the Michigan Bucks.
We're talking on Sports Talk today with a real legend. We're talking with Roger Faulkner of Birmingham, England, of course, who brought the Detroit Express team, owned the Detroit Express team, and, of course, brought the World Cup here in 94, and is on the board of directors of everything, president of the Michigan Soccer Association. If you'd like to get involved and get in our conversation on soccer, we welcome your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or you can email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. The Mitten Pub Downtown Wyandotte features many Michigan craft beers on tap and shows sports always, including the NFL Sunday Ticket. The best place for sports in Wyandotte. The Mitten Pub has awesome burgers, gourmet brats, and is famous for the loaded tater tots. Serving dinner and drink specials Tuesday through Sunday, the Mitten Pub is on Sycamore at Biddle. Like the Mitten Pub on Facebook. And Escape Games in Livonia features fun, interactive rooms filled with clues and puzzles designed to utilize different skill sets for players to navigate their way out. Your team of up to 8 will have 1 hour to escape from abandoned ship, murder mystery, or the toughest of all, jailbreak. It's fun for the family, friends, or corporate team building. Gift certificates available. For more info, go online to Escape Games with an X, MotorCity.com, EscapeGamesMotorCity.com. And Teriyaki Madness in Macomb features the best chicken teriyaki and spicy chicken, tender and juicy, yakisoba noodles, and also vegetarian dishes, shrimp tempura, appetizers and salads, lunch and dinner, 7 days, dine-in, carry-out, and delivery. Teriyaki Madness is on Hall Road, just east of Hayes. Look up Teriyaki Madness on Yelp, Google, and Facebook. It's quite a place. Light Hookah Lounge in Novi has premium hookahs at a casual yet upscale atmosphere. Light Hookah Lounge shows sports on 10 big screen TVs. Open 7 days from 5 p.m. Light Hookah Lounge sells hookah products, charcoals, and hookah heads to go. Friday and Saturday, DJ party. Light Hookah Lounge, downtown Novi, on Main Street. Visit lighthookahlounge.com, L-I-T-E, hookah.com. And Michigan Beer Company in Novi, representing the hardworking people with great food and drinks, showcasing over 100 Michigan craft beers on tap in bottles and in cans. That features a full menu with Michigan foods, unique dishes like venison, cedar plank salmon, rapid pierogies, and beer battered fish and chips, great meatloaf and ribeye steaks in an upscale casual atmosphere. Dinner 7 days, lunch on the weekends. Michigan Beer Company. Dining and parties up to 1,000. Michigan Beer Company, downtown Novi, on Grand River and Main Street. Dining and party reservations, go to michiganbeerco.com. I should say mibeerco.com, mibeerco.com, mibeerco.com. If you like Michigan beers, you'll love Michigan Beer Company. And we're talking with Roger Faulkner on Sports Talk. Get that game up, the Giants and game up, would you? And we'll see what's happening with that now. 10-3 with 10-14 left in the fourth quarter. The Giants lead 10-3. Where's that Washington offense? And if the Giants win this game, folks, that means the Lions are in the playoffs. Now, the Lions still play tonight in 8:30, of course. And then we'll find out then, will they go, if, again, if this goes fruit here, they'll either have a home playoff game if they win or just a regular playoff game without a home game if they lose. And that game, it looks like, will be in Dallas. And, I mean, I'm sorry, not in Dallas, but that play, it looks like it's going to be in Seattle. And they won't win that game. But if they win tonight's game and get into and providing this, they could lose all together if Washington comes back and wins.
Well, by the way, the Redskins are in the red zone, though.
Oh, they are. I want to remember. How do I know? It's not up there for me.
Yep. The Redskins are in the red zone here with 9:43 left. So.
Where in the red zone? Just keep that game up there like that.
Yeah, this has been a hotly contested game.
Second and 7 on the Giants, 14-yard line. Keep that up there, would you? And let me know when a call comes in, if you an email. Oh, my God, this is going to be something. This is going down to the wire, it looks like.
I've seen on social media it's been a pretty hotly contested game.
Well, we'll see what happens here now. Oh, 2nd and 17. I thought it said 2nd and 7.
Penalty.
Penalty, okay. Yep. Holding. Oh, so 2nd and 17. They really, well, they need a touchdown, but they could kick a field goal, and I suppose, on that time. We're talking on Sports Talk with Roger Faulkner and taking your calls for the – we'll keep you on date of that game. That's really contested here. Keep you another score in a couple minutes. On Sports Talk with Roger Faulkner, the soccer legend, and we're taking your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. Or email Cameron, sportstalk@yahoo.com. What's going on here?
The Red Wings send it to overtime.
What?
Check this out.
Check what you're talking about, Alex.
So it was 4 unanswered by the Maple Leafs. Erickson started a streak.
To make it 4-2.
Yep, and now Tatar from Zetterberg. And then with 2 seconds left, Mantha again
Mantha
from Zetterberg and Vanek.
Oh, my God.
So 3 unanswered by the
Red Wings. So they're going to get a point out of this and maybe 2. Keep us on top of that thing as we go. I can't believe the game was over.
I thought it was, too.
You said 4 minutes to go and it's 4-1?
Uh-huh.
I don't believe that.
No, I'm sorry. It's 4-2.
Yeah, they made it 4-2 with Erickson's goal.
And then the last 2 minutes, 2 goals.
2 seconds left, they tied it. Oh, my goodness. If you have a soccer question for Roger Faulkner, we invite your calls. It's a good point for the Wings. They'd like to get 2, but if they at least 1, that'll make 3 out of 4 points the first 2 games of the 7-game road trip.
3 points for Mantha today. 2 goals and an assist.
This Mantha's going to be a 30-goal scorer, as I said before. He'll score 20. How many goals he got this year already?
He scored 8 and 9 today.
He's going to score 20 without a doubt this year.
And a 7th assist, yep.
Good for him. He's really put it together this year. Good for him. Roger Faulkner, my guest on Sports Talk, taking your calls. At 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email Cameron, sportstalk@yahoo.com. You'll put that game up one more time, the Giants game, and see where we stand on that. We'll talk to Roger.
And Zetterberger's 3 assists, by the way.
1st and 2 from the Giants, 2? Oh, they brought back that penalty pretty good.
Yeah, and sportsmanlike conduct on the Giants. That'll do it.
Stupid.
Pierre Garçon was pushed by Dominic Rogers-Cromartie.
And that's why they got the unsportsmanlike conduct?
And now it's a touchdown.
Touchdown, it makes it 10-9. Keep it up for the extra point. Warren Cromartie is not the brightest bulb in the chandelier.
Rogers-Cromartie?
Yeah, I mean, it's the old baseball player. I'm thinking of, remember when they interviewed him? He had 8 kids. Tell him to name the 8 kids. He can only name 5 or 6 of
them. Well, there's Antonio, and then there's Dominique, but they're brothers, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Neither one of them are bright.
Neither one of them are brightest bulb in the chandelier?
I hope you guys have good attorneys.
Good what?
Good attorneys. Saying these people aren't too bright out there?
Yeah, well, they aren't. I mean, they aren't. They're the brightest bulb in the chandelier at all. I mean, dumb as dirt, some of these people.
They can't even pass the, what's that test, the Wonderlic? You can't even pass the Wonderlic. That's the NFL draft test.
No, they can't. That's the trouble with athletes today. They're not as bright as they were years ago. Now, soccer players are pretty good people, aren't they, overall, Roger?
Yes, they are. I think they're the very nature of things. They're such an international sport. They travel so much. I think their broad education level is pretty high. But some of the players, of course, turn or become affiliated with the club at the age of 7 or 8, and sometimes don't get the education that they might have. We may be overeducated here because players who go on to university or college and spend 4 years at college from 17 to 21, they're missing 4 great years for development, and they're not in the pro sport during those 4 years, and so they're a little bit behind when they come out of college. They're
but at least
behind.
They get a job if they don't play pro soccer, and they can still play soccer in college.
Yes, yeah. But there are programs now where the MLS and Adidas, as an example, they guarantee education to a player who turns pro and signs for a club and doesn't go to college, and if it doesn't work out for him, he's got a trust fund that will pay
really?
For his
Really? That's
for his
very
education.
Interesting and
yeah.
Very, very smart.
Yeah, it's innovative. Yeah.
You got an email there, Alex?
I do here. I have one more here. We have Marcus from Detroit. Marcus's email is actually about an MLS team here in Detroit. He says, what do you think an MLS team here would draw?
I think that if they start off with the 20,000 seat stadium, I think they'll fill that 20,000 seat stadium straight away. You know, we had crowds as high as 33,000 in 1978 for the Express, and there were about 5,000 kids playing in the state of Michigan in those days, and very little awareness of the sport. It's changed so dramatically since
right,
then.
You've got that right, Roger.
It's changed so dramatically, Ron, that I think they would average 20,000. I had one comment when I was at that presentation where Rossetti showed their plans for the jail site back in whenever it was, April or May. And my concern about that site is that it looked like the plans would landlock the stadium. So if you build a 20,000 seat stadium and then you build hotels and restaurants and offices and condominiums all the way around it, you can't do what Toronto did this year. Toronto built a 20,000 seat stadium and they've just taken it to 32,000 seats. And this is happening in various cities across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so my concern, and I did mention this to Antelman the last time I met with him, was that I'd like to see that site have expansion capability. Seattle averages 42,000 people. So if you build a 20,000-seat stadium and say we can't ever get more than 20,000 people in there because of the way we designed it, you're inhibiting your potential. So we'll see. But I think, to answer the question, I think 20,000 is a breeze. I think Dan Gilbert could sell 20,000 season tickets within his own employment.
Quick amounts is huge.
Yes, oh, it is huge. It is huge. So yeah. I think it would. It'll happen.
Now, are you going to get involved with any teams coming or anything?
I'm talking to them. I don't know what role they might be at, but I have conversations with them, and we're going to have more conversations in January. But I'm not looking for employment, but to be part of what's going on and privy to what's going on would make me quite happy.
Well, you've got more money stashed away than anybody.
Oh, I got several dollars.
You were pretty good investment you in Birmingham, didn't you? You had a nice investment place there, didn't you?
Me?
Yeah.
I was with Merrill Lynch.
Well, that's investment. Somewhat.
Yeah, I was with Merrill Lynch in the investment business for 28 years.
Was that profitable for you?
Oh yeah, that's a great business. It was a great business. It's tougher now, but it was.
If you have a quick, and it has to be pretty quick now because we're almost out of time. From Roger Faulkner, give us a call at 800-923-9385 or email cameronsportstalk@yahoo.com. Let's take our last break here, and we'll come back and close it out with Roger Faulkner and talk about the future shows. Center of Healing in Redford, a spiritual empowerment where God is the center of your life and you're empowered to prosper spiritually, mentally, and financially. For more info, go to coh2017@gmail.com, coh2017@gmail.com. Fine Indian cuisine awaits you at Pakwan in Plymouth. Pakwan features northern Indian favorites like Sikh kebabs, tandoori for shrimp and fish, Punjabi, chicken marsala, and more. And Pakwan has lunch and dinner specials 7 days in an elegant, casual atmosphere with the best Indian food around. Go to the new Pakwan, corner of 447 Forest Avenue, downtown Plymouth. And Veggie Pales Farmer's Market in Highland features local, organic, and exotic produce, the finest in quality in produce, collards, dairy, snacks and gifts, and good prices. Open 7 days all year. Veggie Pails delivers. Veggie Pails Farmer's Market on Highland Road, a quarter mile west of Duck Lake Road. Go to veggiepails.com, veggiepails.com. And Alvy's Barbecue in downtown Wyandotte has Downriver's best barbecue. Ribs, chicken, pulled pork, and brisket smoked to perfection. Every day, served with Alvy's special sauces and fresh homemade sides. Alvy says a full-service bar with craft cocktails and 8 beers on tap that rotate seasonally. Lunch, dinner, and drink specials Tuesday through Sunday. Dine-in, carry-out, and event catering at Alvy's Barbecue on Biddle across from City Hall. Check out Alvy's Barbecue on Facebook.
The Red Wings could not finish the deal, by the way.
They lost.
In overtime, Austin Matthews again.
No.
With a minute 20 left, Maple Leafs win 5-4. But at least they did get a point.
They did get a point, which is 3 out of 4. You got to win those overtime. And I thought they've done pretty, not in overtimes, but in the shootouts they're doing well. The Wings, I think they're unbeaten in shootouts. What were the final shots in that game?
The Red Wings did outshoot them. I believe it was 35-25.
Boy, they tightened up defensively at the end, didn't they, the Wings? Carroll kept him in the game early. Well, give me the Giants score quickly here if we can. Who's got the ball?
Washington just took over.
And they got the ball at the 31. They're on 31-yard line.
Yep. I'm sorry, 37. The shots for the Red Wings game were 37-29, Detroit.
Interesting. At least you got a point out of that. In closing, Roger, what do you want to tell the Detroit fans who we can expect to see coming here again in overall MIL as a soccer?
I don't know whether we'll get another of these major exhibitions again this year.
We had a good one in 93 and then the World Cup in 94.
Well, in 2016, Manchester United played Real Madrid at Michigan Stadium. They had 109,318 people, and that's the highest attendance ever for a United States soccer game. And the second highest ever was at Ann Arbor Stadium 2 years before that, Real Madrid and Chelsea, which was 105,826. Yep. Now, I don't know whether another of those games will come here, but that, I think that's a clear indication of what this market can bear. And I think we will get that MLS team, and I hope everybody will get behind the effort to bring it here.
Roger, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. We'll bring you back again sometime. It was great.
Always enjoyed it.
Oh, man, it was real. Roger Faulkner. Coming up on future shows next Saturday, we've got Bruce Fields, minor league hitting instructor with the Tigers, hitting coordinator. Next Sunday, we've got Ernie Witt, one of the big Tiger killers of all time, coming on. And after that, we got Larry Murphy. We've got Pudge Rodriguez, if he gets in the Hall of Fame, is coming on. And we've got Barry Smith, the coach, and Thomas Holmstrom coming on, and Jim Leland. That's coming up the next few weeks on Sports Talk. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time on Sports Talk. Bye-bye. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks.
Sponsored by Sports Talk with Ron Cameron.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt on the Next Hugh Hewitt Show. Happy New Year. We ring in the new year with Dr. Larry Arnn of Hillsdale College as we walk through the West, the history that brought us to 2017. What do we need to know to move on forward? Dr. Arnn from Hillsdale College is back with me on the Next Hugh Hewitt Show.
Detroit's home for Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on The Patriot.
Are you a veteran looking for employment, or do you know a veteran who is? If so, please consider Roush for your next career. I'm Rob Ells, manager of the Veterans Initiative Program at Roush and 22-year Army veteran. Roush, a full-service product development supplier headquartered in Livonia, Michigan, has more than 4,000 employees and facilities throughout North America, Europe, and Asia. Widely recognized for providing engineering, testing, prototype, and manufacturing services to the transportation industry, Roush also provides significant support to the aerospace